The Son sets you free. You are free indeed. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow heirs of the Reformation, this time of the year, whether it's a triptych panel or whether it's images in a worship folder, we're used to seeing Martin Luther, late 30s, standing even before the emperor or in some other form of debate, defending his teaching, the teaching of Scripture. But often as you read the confessional stalwarts and the things they say and think about Luther, you almost imagine that he really should be presented as standing with hands on hips, shoulders squared, chest out, almost in the posture of a superhero, right? Because in so many ways he is revered and almost venerated as someone beyond the touch of reality, but that's not at all the man who lived. If you dig into the biographies, the objective biographies, and even into Luther's own writings, you will discover a man who, from the earliest days of life, struggled greatly with bouts of depression. He absolutely was a fighter and a brilliant man, but he was also a realistic and transparent man who always resisted others making more of him than they really should. But the words of the gospel for today, spoken by Jesus in John chapter 8, were the kind of words that Martin Luther would have cherished and would have wanted to hear almost on a daily basis. The gospel concept of complete personal freedom, as Jesus presents it here, was and still is an essential element at the center of the German Reformation. Luther was a man who was careful, and yet at the same time, very bold. He spoke of being completely free in Christ, and yet at the same time he spoke of being the slave of everyone else in service to the gospel and to Christ. He was a living illustration of understanding that it didn't mean that the freedom of the gospel was a license to do and be whatever you choose. But rather, true freedom is pursuing fully who you are in Christ. After all, as the verses before us tell us, you and I are only truly, eternally free if the Son sets us free. Jesus speaks that so well here in John chapter 8. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The Church of History, by the turn of the century, from the 1400s to the 1500s, had greatly obscured, really overshadowed, almost completely blocked out the message of the Scriptures as presented here of any understanding of freedom coming from the gospel. The God of Luther's early life and his theological training was a God who confronted him with anger, with expectation, with demands to be appeased. And that God, Luther was told, would only be satisfied with human obedience. And the definition of the correct obedience for each soul to pursue in working their way to a state of righteousness with God was only and exclusively for the church to determine, to measure, and to tabulate to their eternal spiritual account. In essence, every last person was a slave to Christ and his church, and no one, truly no one, was ever truly free to be themselves. Someone was always watching. Someone was always measuring and judging every element of your life, down to your very soul. If you know the details of the journey of Martin Luther's life from childhood till that moment when he nailed his theses on the castle church door and then proceeded on through a series of debates to that moment depicted here where he finally stood before the very emperor of the Roman Empire to defend his teachings, you know of a man who was pursuing from the beginning eternal personal freedom. He had come to know through his personal study of Scripture and through his preparing for the classroom that God was not demanding anything of us to make us acceptable in his sight. Rather, he came to know through Romans and the Psalms and a number of other places in the Scriptures the clear proclamation of the Word that God intends to give every broken sinner as a gift the righteousness that makes him approved to live with God forever, acceptable in God's sight. All of it is a gracious gift. This sets every sinner free from the consequences of every sin forever. And it was this teaching of freedom, this proclaiming of the Scriptures offering personal freedom, is what made Luther an outlaw, truly wanted dead or alive. And for us who live in the wide open and wild liberalism and libertarianism of the 21st century, can't even begin to imagine how it could be that someone just simply teaching freedom, freedom from sin, freedom from the burden of guilt, eternal freedom, could generate such a hate-based backlash to the point of a death sentence. But Martin Luther, more than maybe any other man in history, walked confidently in the word of his God and its declaration of freedom, the freedom from sin, freedom to be oneself. He insisted on proclaiming that freedom to anyone who was willing to listen and to defend that freedom for every soul, even to the point of it maybe costing him his own life. So it shouldn't be surprising to us that the course of Luther's life after he came to this realization through the Word began to look so much like our own in contrast to what was expected of him. He got married. He became a father. He welcomed to the table of his home pretty much every evening to his supper table students and seekers from across Europe who wanted to know better, who wanted to know fully this freedom that he was proclaiming. And so he taught it in his classroom. He preached it from his pulpit. He pastored every soul that the Lord led to cross his path to know, to appreciate, to live this freedom that Jesus speaks of here in John chapter 8. Has anyone, since the death of the Apostle John at the end of the New Testament era, had more impact on the world for Christ and the gospel than Martin Luther? If you take a step back from his life and measure it objectively, it really is amazing to consider. But the better question to ask is, what about you? What do you hear and learn about yourself and your eternity when Jesus offers you here in the gospel lesson the path to be free indeed? First, Jesus tells you of the need to know and believe and live everything that he teaches. That's pretty amazing stuff when you think about it. He says, if you hold to everything that I have taught you, then you are really the one following me. That automatically raises some interest, doesn't it? And some questions. And it was natural for them to respond the way they did. They thought of themselves as free people. You and I that know the freedom of the country in which we live also would say, I don't belong to anybody. I'm not enslaved to anyone. So how are you going to set me free? And Jesus responds immediately, pushing back, saying, you don't seem to quite understand. Free yourself from your guilt. Free yourself from temptation. Free yourself from that reality that deep down you know you have a God who has every right to be angry with you and demanding of you some answer for your sins, for your attitudes, the words you've spoken, the things that you've done. Ah, so you are enslaved, Jesus would say. If you have a sinful human conscience, a sinful human nature, you are enslaved to sin. But, he tells you, if the Son of that family, that eternal family, that divine family, sets you free, then you are free indeed. The only way to fully comprehend absolutely last and everything that Jesus is telling you in that phrase is to know all of Jesus' teaching and all about his mission. You need to know of Jesus' perfect obedience to every law of God and every law of man. You need to know of his complete and abiding willingness to volunteer himself to be under the burden of death, literally enslaving himself to our worst need, experiencing hell, experiencing the worst of persecutions and damage that human beings can do to one another in the last hours of his life. Willingness to become the slave to free those enslaved as the substitute for every sinner. That is how he paid our way to freedom. Freedom from the bondage of sin by his own death and resurrection. Freedom has a price. But no one needs to tell us that, right? It's only a few days from now that we will once again observe a Veterans Day, November 11th. We know too well the cost of our freedom. We live in an amazing land that has long held to the principles of the rights of personal freedom. But it isn't free. Whether we take that measurement as something that we acknowledge having been those first patriots, those rebels against a tyrannical king that shed their blood to found this nation, or whether it is the most recent casualty of the war on terror, you and I live free because those who defend our rights and enforce our laws are willing to spill their blood to make us free. And when it comes to the freedom that Jesus is speaking of here, the eternal spiritual freedom, we know there also is a cost. But what's amazing, what's central to everything that Jesus is teaching here, is that it required only one death. It required only one perfect life. It required only one to substitute himself in the place of all the slaves so that the Son could free us indeed. Free us of everything that would keep us from knowing heaven forever. Free us to be ourselves with no burden of guilt and no threat of condemnation. So the only thing really left for us to do then is to live in the freedom that Jesus speaks of here. And as you and I consider it, the question is how? How do we do that? How do we acknowledge the freedom that Jesus has won for us? And it was the immediate pushback of the church of his day that this just doesn't work and this just doesn't make sense. He had to answer the challenge to his proclamation of this freedom. Why in the world would anyone who believes in God and believes what you've shared here, Martin Luther, Why would anyone then obey God's word and live God's will in their life if they're completely freed already? Martin Luther's answer would have been freedom itself, and that's exactly what Jesus is saying in these verses. And it's amazing, if you take your walk into the rest of the New Testament, into the epistle lessons, the apostles also come back to this topic with regularity, asking questions like, if you have been freed from the slavery of sin, why would you ever voluntarily walk your way right back into the muck and the mire of all that enslaved you? Sin and temptation and Satan and hell. Why not live your freedom in a way that celebrates every day who God has made you through His Son, acknowledging your adoption into God's family, His eternal family, that has been made permanent through His Son setting you free? But isn't that exactly what makes us feel at home with God? We come into God's presence desiring to know Him fully and to be fully known by Him, but we acknowledge every time we come into His presence in worship that we don't deserve to be there. We have no right to expect to even hear God's word, say nothing about be welcome in His presence and have opportunity to worship Him. And so we confess over and over again our sins, our brokenness, our failures in thought, word, action. And God says in response, I know. I know that's who you are. And that's why I sent my Son to set you free. That's why I accepted His payment on your behalf by raising Him from the dead to demonstrate to you that He was perfect and holy and can now give that freedom, that payment price for your sins, to give you eternal life with God. And that's how God wants us to understand and be motivated by that very freedom to desire worship of Him. And yet, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, sin after sin, we come back and we acknowledge to God that we haven't been able to keep ourselves on that straight path. We haven't been able to keep ourselves free from sin. And yet again, the Father says, every time, without fail, without reservation, without condition, in the name of my Son, I forgive you. You are free. He even says, come, participate in my Son's body and blood offered and shed, broken for you. Bread and wine, body and blood, for your forgiveness, for your strengthening, for your understanding better every day, your freedom. Experience it here. You and I have read the words of God from the gospel that makes the statement, this kind of statement, that Jesus offers us complete freedom. Do you understand what a legacy that is of Luther and the other reformers, many who spent, or rather cost themselves their own lives, their own blood by their insistence on proclaiming this freedom, but particularly the issue of offering the Word of God to people for them to read for themselves in their own language, to understand it, so that personal freedom would also be a personal possession. Your Savior desires an intimate personal relationship with you that is only limited to the time you're willing to invest with Him. That's a treasured reality of those who have offered us this legacy of 600, 700, even 800 years of insistence upon reform and freedom. No matter who you are, no matter where you have come from, no matter what you have done, truly no matter what, your God says to you, as He said to Martin Luther, and through him and through so many others who have faithfully proclaimed the word to you and me down through the ages, welcome home. Make yourself comfortable where you are and always will be free to be yourself. My word declares you free. Through my Son, from everything, eternally. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.